Abraham, her handmaiden, Hagar, and said, lay with her, and that'll be the child. But then she did conceive eventually. And Paul says it was by faith. Because though she did what she did, she still believed that God would provide the seed. Though she didn't know, though she somewhat doubted exactly how, and she tried to manipulate it. To me, that's like I believe God's going to deliver me. Let's say God's going to deliver me from a particular sin. And in the process of wanting to be delivered, I say to myself, well, I'm still drinking. Now, let's say it's alcoholism. I'm still a drunk. And I got to do something about this. God, I know God wants me to be righteous. I'll go to a 12-step program. 12-step programs aren't good. I mean, I'm glad men are trying to lay aside alcohol, right? But that is kind of like the Hagar solution. Hagar answers to the law, as according to Paul in Romans, right? She answers to the law, and it is the best in the face of such lack, such inability to fulfill the promise of God. Meaning, God promised Sarah, you're going to have a baby. And she physically can't do it. So she thinks, there has to be a baby. So I will give my husband this other woman, and her son will become the child of promise. And so the same thing is like when we pursue deliverance from sin through channels other than through the miraculous and the Spirit of God. Meaning the Spirit of God just gives it to me and writes it in my heart a change. What do? We go to 12-step programs and we try to change ourselves. And it isn't something God hates or anything, because we're trying to be faithful to His promise. We're trying to see those things fulfilled. But we have to also know this, that to truly overcome it is not by the works of man, but by the works of God which happen inside of us, which are impossible for us to fake or to make happen by any means of our own doing. That's why Sarah was beyond the point of conception, because God wanted that to show how that He would do things that it was impossible for a man to do or a man to force. Certainly at that time, I know they've had old women conceiving these days because, and I don't mean to say it old women like that, but I know they've had older women conceive these days by medical procedures and so on and so forth. But the point was that at that time it seemed impossible. She went to menopause, or whatever. She was well beyond the time of conception. And it was impossible. The only thing that seemed possible for man was, well, I'll go to Hagar. And that answers to, like, legalism. Thou shalt not kill. Well, I'll go and just remember to obey that. Whereas the righteousness which is of faith says, I come to do thy will, O God. That is the righteousness of faith. The righteousness of the faith is, I better not do that because God will be displeased. Or I've got to manipulate circumstances so that it works out righteously. No, it is, I come to do thy will, O God. It is written in my heart to do thy will, O God. I am obedient by faith. He who promised was faithful. She believed that there was going to be that child of promise. Even when she gave Hagar, she believed there's going to be a child. And she thought, maybe this is the way God meant. But then she became pregnant, right? And things changed. Verse 12. There sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Those are, of course, figures of speech. Meaning a lot of people. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Genesis 23. It's actually alluded to several times in the Old Testament. So all these lists, they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Meaning, Abraham never saw. And notice, oh, Lord, thank you. Verse 13, these all died in faith. Enoch died. Look at the context. These all died. Praise the Lord. I now know how to answer people when they tell me, what about Enoch? What about Elijah? Well, Elijah isn't listed here, but it's the same thing. Elijah was translated. Enoch was not, for God, the Lord took him. He was translated. But he died. It says so here. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. And Enoch's translation was the promise of resurrection, to be changed into a different body and to be brought up and taken away. At least that's the way it's generally thought of. It, though, it, like it says, translated just means transported. It could just mean physically. It doesn't necessarily mean body transformation. It means body translation to a different place. But they did not receive the fullness of the... Like, Abraham went to the promised land and he died, but he never actually saw his heirs inherit it. And we don't know the extent of the promises, what it meant, the promise to Abel, the promise, you know, it's the promise of the forgiveness of sins, of the righteousness which is by faith. And Noah also died, not really receiving the fullness of the promise of the righteousness by faith, which would only be fulfilled in Christ. The same thing with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah. The promises, the fullness of the promises were not fulfilled until the coming of Christ and are not really realized till the consummation of the age and the resurrection of the dead. But they saw them afar off. They believed in what was future. They were persuaded, which is the word. It is a kindred word to the word faith. It, you know, faith is pythos, and this is, you know, also pythio. And they were embraced. They embraced the promises. They were persuaded of them. They confessed. They made confession that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. They were something other. They sought something else. Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is, and heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. They can, you know, Abraham came and he says, I am a stranger in a strange land. But Paul is saying there's something philosophically more there. There's a greater wisdom in that. Not just that he was thinking of, oh, I used to live in the land of the Chaldees. But that there was something unsatisfactory about the human condition. There's something strange about it. Something unnatural about it. Something that is other to us than we think ought to be right. Something that we are looking for something better, something different, somewhere else. Something, you know, I'm a stranger here where I live. I've lived here 10 years and I still feel like an outsider. When I was in school, I felt like an outsider. When I was among my friends, I felt like an outsider.